Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Our congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 168, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Before thee, Lord, a people waits to praise thy name in Zion's gates. To thee shall vows be paid. Thou hear of the suppliant's prayer and what follows. Psalter 168, the first three stanzas. of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Exodus 27, the verses 1 through 17. First, we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Exodus 27, the first 17 verses. And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horn shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass. And thou shalt make his pans to receive his ashes, and his shovels, and his basins, and his flesh hooks, and his fire pans. All the vessels thereof thou shalt make of brass. And thou shalt make for it a grate of network of brass, and upon the net shalt thou make 4 brazen rings in the 4 corners thereof. and thou shalt put it under the compass of the altar beneath, that the net may be even to the midst of the altar. And thou shalt make stays for the altar, stays of shittim wood, and overlay them with brass. And the stave shall be put into the rings, and the stave shall be upon the two sides of the altar to bear it. Hollow with boards shalt thou make it, as it was showed thee in the mount, so shalt thou make it. And thou shalt make the court of the tabernacle, for the south side southward there shall be hangings, for the court of fine twined linen, of 100 cubits long for one side. And the 20 pillars thereof, and their 20 sockets shall be of brass. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets shall be of silver. And likewise for the north side in length, there shall be hangings of 100 cubits long, and his 20 pillars and their 20 sockets of brass, the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. And for the breadth of the court on the west side shall be hangings of 50 cubits, their pillars 10 and their sockets 10. And the breadth of the court on the east side eastward shall be 50 cubits. The hangings of one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. And on the other side shall be hangings 15 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. And for the gate of the court shall be an hanging of 20 cubits of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen wrought with needlework, and their pillars shall be 4 and their sockets 4. All the pillars round about the court shall be filleted with silver, their hook shall be of silver, and their sockets of brass. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Eternal, unchangeable, almighty, a most holy, a most merciful God, the creator and the upholder of the heavens and of the earth, the fathers of all mercy, the fountain of all good. Then in thy great mercy, then thou hast granted unto us and our children another Lord's Day, already the 7th Lord's Day of this newly begun year. Then it has pleased thee to carry us and our children upon thy wings of mercy. Then thou wast watched over us in the home, at work, at school, on the way, wherever we were called to be. Then thou wast not taken one away by the cold hand of death, but in the way of thy patient long-suffering, then thou wast still been mindful of a people that all lie under the sentence of death. Ah, Lord, may it please thee to grant an impression thereof. Thou knowest how we have awoke this morning, and may it have been with thoughts of thee. And may we go with those thoughts through the day and end the day. Ah, Lord, thou knowest that in us there dwelleth no good, but only evil. That we are sinners not only by nature, but also by practice. And to that end, we humbly ask thee for the precious work of thy Holy Spirit in all of our hearts, by the first time and by renewal, a deep and abiding impression of whom thou art and who we are, and that we need that reconciliation, our Lord. And may it please thee to not only grant a bowing of the head, but also a bowing of the heart, a little bewonderment of thy goodness, and a prayer unto thee, the living God. Then on this cold winter morning, then thou just granteth the opportunity to a part of the congregation to come up to thy house. Wilt thou remember man and beast in the winter weather? May we be given to meditate upon all thy goodness, that also in the midst of the cold, that we may have warm dwellings and also a warm church to gather in. Then we commend unto thee all the suffering in the winter season, those that are freezing and those that are starving. Oh, what maketh us to differ? And may it then be all thy goodness that may lead us to repentance. Oh, that it may become our earnest desire, or be our desire, that great, that majestic, that almighty, that holy and merciful God, that he may become our God, for body and soul, for time and eternity, by free and sovereign grace, our Lord. Then we humbly beg of thee that thou may use thy word to that end in this morning hour. Then we may commence the Passion Weeks, where our forefathers in a former age have thought it fitting and profitable that 7 weeks would be set apart, that in a special way we may be given to meditate and consider the suffering of thy dear Son, that a church may and shall be saved. Ah, Lord, where that need for that passion is still missing, when we can still live on in our natural state with all our sins, as if there is no eternity, hopefully at some impressions in our conscience, and hopeless, hoping that we are not a careless and a bold sinner, because what a terrible thing it is to harden our heart. But, Lord, where that true need for the Savior is yet so missing, may it please thee in this day and in this season to work it. That many among young and old, that they may become a sinner, that they may become the sinner, yea, even the chiefest of sinners. All sinners who may learn in the way of experience that they can never bring forth that satisfaction, were even our best works, yea, our religious duties, that they are polluted with sin, all in need for a mediator, for a Savior, our Lord. May then a cry arise out of many a heart, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And our Lord, when thou hast begun that work, when there are souls in our midst that do not know how to be converted and to be reconciled, where it seems that it is becoming more and more impossible, even becoming a greater sinner and a demanding justice. Lord, may it then be yea, even in this morning hour, that the veil may be lifted, and that they may be given to look upon him who was so white and ruddy, the willing servant of the Father, who was given himself from eternity, has come in the fullness of time, has brought forth that sacrifice so well pleasing unto thee. And there is a way that the chiefest of sinners may be saved. Ah, Lord, may then in this morning hour and in this season, may then a light arise in the darkness, the light upon that precious Savior, and arms of faith to embrace the same. Ah, Lord, thou hast a people upon the earth that learn more and more that it is all a gift from above, that they can give themselves nothing. Oh, a dependent people, ah, Lord, wilt thou make thy people more dependent, and wilt thou also grant us further leadings, because thy children each time by renewal, they need new light, and they need more light, and when thou withdraws thyself, then they can know it with their mind, there can be a contemplation of divine realities, but the power has gone out of it, and then by renewal it shall become true. I have left in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and the last part, and they shall trust in the Lord, that must be given each time by renewal. Ah, Lord, make it then a special, an unforgettable season amongst us and our children. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Oh, impress upon all our hearts that there is one thing needful, that our time is short, it is uncertain, eternity is at hand, and we need to be born again. Lord, wilt thou remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth? Remember all thy truly called servants in this day, those that are weak, those that are old. Remember elders and deacons. Remember the labors among the Jews and among the Gentiles. Lord, remember the many temporal needs. Then thou was granted unto one of our members that she has underwent surgery in the past week, privileged to come home. We humbly ask thee, wilt thou grant further healing and further strengthening? And, Lord, may it be granted with the psalmist, where he was given to declare, when my soul is overwhelmed, then thou knewest my path. Wilt thou uphold, wilt thou remember, and may the callings be sanctified. Remember her loved ones. Remember all under the physician's care, those that are struggling with difficulties and weakness of their bodies. And, Lord, when thou granteth health and strength, may we be given to consider all thy goodness. Lord, remember all the mourning ones amongst us. There are so many among young and old. Different loved ones have been taken from their sight suddenly, gradually, and those empty places they remain. Yea, there are amongst us where those empty places are only becoming emptier and greater. Lord, wilt thou remember, wilt thou sanctify all the callings. Remember all our elderly ones in the Bethesda at home in a special way. Remember those that are weak, those that are frail, Then we commend them all unto thee, with those that may lovingly care for them. Remember the crosses, the burdens. Lord, remember man and beast in the winter weather, and may it now please thee, as we read in thy holy word, that on a winter day, it was the feast of the dedication, that thou wast walked in Solomon's porch, wilt thou richly walk amongst us, wilt thou go from bench to bench, from chair to chair, from home to home, and wilt thou stop at this one and at that one, and wilt thou magnify thy wonders. May it be a special Sabbath day to that end, Lord. We humbly ask thee to anoint us with fresh oil from above. Wilt thou instruct us out of thy holy word, and that in all simplicity and clarity we may explain thy word, and that it may enter into the hearts. Wilt thou take away everything that could be a hindrance? Wilt thou bind the devil? Give a little rest on this Sabbath day, Lord, so by renewal in this morning hour, then we have much to lay before thee, although thou knowest the beginning from the end, but thou hast exhorted thy church to open their mouth, and to that end we also need thee, and to that end, our Lord, may it please thee to answer us and to visit us. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 140, the four stanzas. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within, cleanse, oh, cleanse me from my sin. And what follows, the extra collection today is for the Bethesda Building Fund. Psalter 140, the four stanzas. in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Exodus 27, the verses 1 and 2. Our God's word and our text reads thus: "And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, of 5 cubits long, and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horn shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass." Our text words speak of the brazen altar of burnt offerings, with 3 thoughts. In the first place, the appointed place of this altar. In the second place, the instructive characteristics of this altar. And in the third place, the needed sacrifice for this altar. The brazen altar of burnt offerings. The appointed place of this altar. The instructive characteristics of this altar. And thirdly, the needed sacrifice for this altar. Thus first, the appointed place. Beloved congregation, then the Lord has granted by renewal that we may commence the Passion Weeks. Our fathers in a former century have thought it profitable and fitting that 7 weeks would be set apart in the year, that in a special way the church may be given to consider and meditate upon the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, that a church may be saved. And then it is so necessary that the Lord comes down with His Holy Spirit and that He grants that need, but also for those needy ones, that the light may arise in the darkness and that that way may be revealed and that the children of God, that they may be given to see more in that precious suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, congregation, then it concerns our sins. And how is it now with our sins for each and every one of us? How do we live with our sin? Have we thought about our sins in this past week? Has it brought us on our knees? Because, congregation, we need a solution here in the time. Because what shall it be for a sinner when he has to appear before his judge with all his black sins? And now in the Old Testament, it was all more veiled. And nevertheless, what a rich instruction for the church. Because also concerning the tabernacle service, it all pointed to the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now in this morning hour, then we wish to consider the brazen altar of burnt offerings. And then in the first place, because the Lord has prescribed everything concerning the sacrifices in the tabernacle, then it was not up to Moses and Aaron to choose or find a place for that altar. But the Lord has very specifically told where that altar must be placed. And now when we read the book of Exodus, undoubtedly a family or a few families possible, not, but that at the moment at the table or in the evening in family worship, that we are reading out of the book of Exodus, and that it seemed to you also maybe to our children that there is a repetition in the book of Exodus, because in the chapters 25 through 31, there is spoken concerning the tabernacle and all its furniture and the priesthood. And then later in the book of Exodus, in the chapters 35 through 40, then we read of the same. Then it can seem that there is repetition, but then we must understand it rightly, because in our text it says, "And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood." And that altar is also spoken of nearly in the same words in Exodus 38, verse 1. And then we read, "And he made the altar of burnt offering." Thus do you hear the difference, congregation? Then in the chapters 25 through 31, when Moses was on the mount for 40 days, then the Lord has given instruction exactly how everything must be constructed. And then in the chapters 35 through 40, there we read that Moses, with all the helpers and all the liberal hearts among the children of Israel, that have given for that tabernacle. And then we even read in one of those chapters that it had to be given with willing hearts. Thus, to that end, then it can seem that there is a repetition, but in the latter chapters, then it is written that it was exactly made as the Lord has commanded. That means, congregation, concerning our worship, that may not be according to our ideas. We live in a time that many churches have thought to be wiser than God, and that they have brought many things into the worship service where there is no warrant for the word of God. But then it is so important that the preaching of law and gospel is central, that it may be told unto us and our children, our deep fallen Adam, but also how that the Lord has made a way that the chiefest and blackest of sinners, oh, what a privilege, when at the threshold of another passion season, that indeed, that there may be a few souls. I hope there have been a few. Lord, that is now me, the chiefest and the blackest of sinners, a sinner that has tried so hard to please thee and to keep thy law, which we have heard at the foot of Mount Sinai most perfectly. And it seems that I'm only becoming a greater sinner, and yet a sinner that cannot miss thee. And now our first thought, the appointed place of that brazen altar. Then we have the encampment of the children of Israel. Then we have the tabernacle, 100 cubits from east to west, and 50 cubits north to south. Thus approximately 150 feet by 75 feet. And then around that court of that tabernacle, then we first find on three sides the three families of Aaron, and on the east side, that is where the gate to the court was. That is where we find the family of Aaron, the Aaronic priesthood. And then there was a large space, and then on each side of the tabernacle and of those encampments of the family of Levi, then we find three tribes on each side of the tabernacle. Thus then we see everything in a very orderly way. And Paul has written to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. And then what was above that encampment, boys and girls? What was there by day and what was there by night? Then on top of the tabernacle, there was that pillar of cloud in the daytime, which turned to a pillar of fire by night. And then undoubtedly that pillar was like an umbrella that all the children of Israel were privileged and blessed to be under that cloud, even the uttermost part of the camp, even those that dwelt so far from the tabernacle, they were still privileged in the daytime to be under the shelter of that cloud, and in the nighttime that they may receive light from the pillar of fire. Then indeed, it was a blessed people. Oh, undoubtedly many times, oh, what has to be given that the children of Israel, they found it all normal, of course. Many boys and girls were born in that encampment. Thus, they never knew anything different than that pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And also that the Lord has provided so richly and abundantly with manna that in that large encampment, that there was not one that had to go hungry. We read in the census that is recorded that there were more than 600,000 men over 20 years. Thus the general thought is that there were about 2 million people in that encampment. Oh, a privileged people under the oracles of God. And so we are also privileged congregation. Oh, we may resemble that Israel of old. What a privilege is that the Lord grants unto us and our children, a people under the word of God, under the guidance of God, under the care of God, under his protection. Then it would be terrible if there were in that encampment that even thought about leaving that encampment of Israel. That would be a terrible thing to boldly say unto the Lord, Lord, I have no desire for thee and for thy word. I want to go into the wilderness. May our young people, may they have an impression of the privileges and goodness of the Lord, and that they shall never depart. And on account of our evil heart, if that thought even arises, then young people, go on your knees and ask the Lord to keep you and above all to convert you. Because even the world, Balaam, when he has stood on a high place three times, then even Balaam had an impression of the blessedness of that people, where he has exclaimed in Numbers 24, verse 5, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. But now this morning we must consider those tents and the people that lived in those tents, and also the thoughts of each Israelite, and to turn unto ourselves and to examine how it is in our hearts. We read in John 1, verse 22, that the leaders of the Jewish nation have sent messengers to John the Baptist, and they have said, "Who art thou, and what sayest thou of thyself?" It is true. We can be very mistaken, think of the Pharisees. But now in this morning, when we are called to consider all those dwellers, fathers and mothers, and boys and girls, in those tents surrounding that tabernacle, what sayest thou of thyself? How is it now traveling to eternity? And how is it now with our sins? Has sin truly become a burden? Or is it still our delight, still a blessing when we have a speaking conscience? But have we now learned that godly sorrow? Have we now learned to weep those bitter and sweet tears because of our sins? And now concerning that encampment in those tents, it is implied that those tents, they had their doors facing toward the tabernacle. Also precious instruction that the worship of God has a central and an important place in all of our families. And now those dwellers in those tents, they were given to see, all of them. They could see in a great distance the tabernacle because it arose, that court around the tabernacle that was approximately 8 foot high. The tabernacle itself was 15 foot high. Thus then we can understand, boys and girls, that out of those tents, that they could see that tabernacle arising above the walls of the court. They were given to see the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And now what was necessary for all that people in those tents, that they had the work of the Holy Spirit in their heart, and that they received a longing and a thirsting for that living God, then it was necessary that they would make that good choice of a Ruth and to need and desire the things of the Lord. And now what a contrast, congregation, because those tents, they were mostly of a dark color. We read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5, those as black as the tents of Kedar. Thus, what a contrast between those black tents and the wall around the tabernacle that was pure white. But there was yet a bigger difference. And do you know what that difference was? That when the Lord works by His Holy Spirit, then we learn that we are so black inside, our hearts black because of our sin, and then we are given to see something of that white wall, that fence around the tabernacle. Oh, then we receive such a desire and such a longing that that mighty God, who has given us ordinances, who has given that pillar, who gives that manna, because do we not read in Romans 2 verse 4 that it is the goodness of the Lord that leadeth to repentance? It is true. Many times the Lord also uses trials and afflictions and callings. May that also take place in our life. But may it also be His great goodness that leadeth us and our children to repentance. And now when the Lord works, do you know what takes place? Then those sinners in those black tents that learn that they are so black because of sin, then they receive a longing for that living God. And then the Spirit teaches them that their sin that causes a separation between them and the Lord, then they become seeking souls. Are there such souls in my midst? Seeking souls that have to say, that have learned that they are so black, that are given to weep those bitter tears, and that learn that their sin causes separation, because that white fence around that tabernacle that is pure white, that points to the holiness of the Lord. And then a prayer is born. Oh, they have such a jealousy and such a desire to belong to that people, but they have their sins. And now for the Israelites in those black tents, when they would come toward the court of the tabernacle, then on three sides, then they would be confronted with that white fence of 8 foot high, pure white, and a black sinner. And on the west, the north, and the south side, not a single opening. Then such souls, then in the distance, they could see that tabernacle arising above that curtain, that fence. But when a soul would approach to the court, and they would come close to that linen fence, then I think maybe our children can even understand it. You would have a child of 4 or 5 feet. Then in the distance they could see that tabernacle, that is the special dwelling place of the Lord, where that cloud has filled the tabernacle, his special presence. But now when he came closer to the tabernacle, and when you are only 5 foot tall and there's an 8 foot tall fence, then of course you cannot see the tabernacle anymore. Are the souls that understand it? Because the Lord reveals his grace and that precious Savior from behind the justice of God. Oh, that fence around the tabernacle, so pure and so white, that has declared unto each Israelite that nothing may enter in that defileth. The Lord is so holy and so righteous. Oh, we have a nominal Christendom. They know how good, they know exactly how it must go. From afar, they may speak of that tabernacle, but if you now ask them concerning that fence around that tabernacle, the justice of God, then they are silent. But in the life of the true work, then they are given to seek and to ask for a way. Ah, then that white fence around the courtyard, that tells a sinner that there is no way of self to be saved. But now the wonder, then on the east side, and that is also where the tribe of Judah has encamped. Then on the east side, it was different. Because then on that curtain, 50 cubits wide, 75 feet. Then in the middle, 30 feet. Then there were embroidered cherubims, most likely as we read upon the veil. And then we read that they were blue, that they were purple, and that they were scarlet. And that was a declaration that on the east side, that there was a gate, a way to come inside that courtyard and to come closer to the tabernacle. What a wonder that was for a seeking soul. And of course, was their duty, it was commanded that the children of Israel, under different circumstances, that they were to come to that east gate with their sins. Also, when a child was born, to present their child, also in the way of thanksgiving, thus not only to come with their needs, but also with their thanksgiving, But then what a wonder it became for a true Israelite that in that courtyard that there was a door. Oh, that blue that pointed to the heavens, pointed to holiness. Then that purple that points to royalty, the kingship, and scarlet. Do we not read in Isaiah 1 verse 18, though your sins be as scarlet, thus precious instruction upon that gate in congregation. Now that gate was very wide. And that tells us that the chiefest, the biggest of sinners, that they can enter in that gate. Is that not a wonder? This congregation, there's not one that can say in this morning that I am too big and too black a sinner. But that gate was very wide. On the other hand, in Matthew 7, the verses 13 and 14, that gate is very narrow, and it is narrow because nothing of self can enter in. And now for a seeking Israelite, then what a wonder it was that there was a way to enter that courtyard where the Lord has dwelled in a special place, where he has magnified his glory. And how is it now with us, congregation? At the beginning of another passion season, oh, have we learned that we are even blacker than those black tents, that we even go dressed in black because of our sins, but that we say, oh, Lord, my heart is so evil, is so black, and I have tried so hard to satisfy, but I am a sinner still. Is there now a way that I may be restored into that blessed communion? Oh, to come in that courtyard. And now such a one, then when they have entered through that gate, it was not so difficult, it was a curtain that you could come through. Then what was the first thing that they have seen? That is special instruction. They did not see the tabernacle in the first place, in the distance. They did not come into the holy place or the holy of holies. But the first thing when they entered through that courtyard, through that gate of that court, that was the brazen altar of burnt offerings. And what a preaching that was for the Israelite. That is our second thought. The instructive characteristics of this altar. And then we read of the size, 5 cubits by 5 cubits. That's approximately 8 foot square, 3 cubits high, of 4.5 foot high. All the other furniture in the courtyard and in the tabernacle, although the size of the brazen laver is not written down in God's word, but then it seems that all the other furniture could fit inside the brazen altar of burnt offerings. Thus, that also is a rich declaration that all else, what we find further in the courtyard and in the tabernacle, all in the context of the brazen altar of burnt offerings. And now that altar that was made of shittim wood. Tell us, not such a beautiful tree. We also read in Isaiah 53 verse 2, he hath no form nor comeliness, no beauty that we should desire him. That's the way it is, right? Unconverted fellow travelers. No beauty that we should desire him. And why is there no beauty? Because no need We can know with our mind that we are black, but we have never learned to weep because of our sins. Thus, that altar was made of shit and wood. But then we read that it was covered with brass. And I think our boys and girls maybe know the reason. Because of that altar was only made of wood. And with the fire burning, with the sacrifices, what would have happened with that altar, boys and girls? Then that altar would have burned up too. And therefore, the Lord has commanded that the brazen altar for burnt offerings, that it must be covered with brass. And brass is a very hardy metal. If we think of number 16, with those 250 princes that have rebelled against authority, and that the Lord has sent fire down from heaven, that they were completely consumed, they had brazen censers, but those censers were not burnt up. Thus it was necessary that that brazen altar was covered with brass. What a beautiful emblem. Then that shittim wood, that points to the human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no human upon this earth that is able to bear the wrath of God. Even when the Lord works by His Spirit, then the Lord many times reveals gradually, otherwise they would succumb. There's no human nature that can bear the wrath of God. And yet, congregation, do you sometimes think about it? If we now have to go lost, and what shall it be to go lost under such a precious gospel, under the proclamation of that brazen altar that all points to Christ, they're not able to bear and then have to bear to all eternity that shall be, because corruption shall put on incorruption. But now that brass, it is true, we consider the whole tabernacle, and outside the tabernacle it was brass. Inside the tabernacle it was gold, points to the earth. But that brass now points to the divine nature of Christ. And therefore Christ was able to bear the wrath of God. Therefore He is not succumbed. Thus what a preaching. That altar that had four horns in each corner. Horns is a symbol of power, of honor. When animal of horns, it is beauty. We also read in the Bible that to those horns, sometimes the animal was tied to it. Also a possibility for a guilty sinner, that he may be given to beg for mercy, that he may grab onto those horns, that he may plead for mercy only on the foundation of the sacrifices that were brought. Thus, when one entered into that court, then the first thing they would see was that large brazen altar of burnt offerings. The word burnt offerings, that means to ascend. Because on those, and what was now brought on those altars was the sacrifices. But now on that altar, we read specifically in Leviticus 6, verse 13, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Thus that means when a person, when a family, fathers and mothers with their children, when they came through that door, through that curtain, and they saw that altar, then they also saw the fire burning, and fire in the scriptures, that many times that is an emblem of the justice of God. Think of Sodom and Gomorrah when it was destroyed. Think of the two sons of Aaron, Leviticus 10, when fire came down from heaven to destroy those two sons. Also at the end of the world, then the world shall be destroyed by fire. Thus, when they saw that fire burning, was the justice of God, and that justice that required satisfaction, and that fire that would consume, what a preaching for the Israelite. What a preaching. When they have come through that corridor, they saw that brazen altar of burnt offerings and fire, the justice of God demanding a sacrifice. Have we ever learned it, congregation? Because when the Lord works, then we learn who the Lord is. Oh, it is true. Learn His goodness, His long-suffering, that we have not been consumed. As the prophet Jeremiah not said in Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, that His justice has not consumed us. But then we are also learn much of that justice of God, and that is such a holy justice, that is a demanding justice, and that demands perfection. That is the justice of God over our sin. And then we become busy, and then we try to satisfy that justice. Because when the Lord works and when it is tender, then there is nothing worse than the anger of the Lord against us. And then we are given to seek for reconciliation, this congregation, at the beginning of another Passion season. What rich instruction concerning that brazen altar of burnt offerings, what it is made of, its construction, but also that fire, and that fire demands a sacrifice. That is our third thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 318, the stanzas 1, 2, 6, and 7. The glorious gates of righteousness throw open unto me, and I will enter them with praise, O Lord, my God, to Thee. And what follows? Psalter 318, 1, 2, 6, and 7. Thank you. the brazen altar of burnt offerings, the appointed place, the instructive characteristics, and in the third place, the needed sacrifice for this altar. Then it was necessary for that people that have dwelt in those black tents with their black hearts, that they were instructed in the things of the Lord. Then it would be possible when a father and mother and children would enter through that corridor, and when boys and girls, when they have seen that fire burning, that they became very afraid, and that they grabbed onto the clothes, to the coat of father and mother, fearing what would happen. That fire, as we have said, that is an emblem of God's justice, and also a demanding justice. That fire demands a sacrifice. And now the wonder that was declared also in the tabernacle service, that instead of a black sinner, that a substitute was possible, that substitute would undergo the flames of fire of that demanding justice. Because concerning this altar, then we also read the altar of atonement. That is a big word, boys and girls. But if we divide that word into three little words, then you can understand what it means. And then we can divide that big word into three little words, at-one-ment. Thus, by nature, then we are not one with the Lord. Then we are enemies. Then there is that separation. But through that altar, then those poor sinners, that people, they may come at one man, be one, be reconciled with the Lord. And now the wonder at all points to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. Wherefore those Israelites, they were commanded, but also privileged, that they could come through that corridor, oh, not empty-handed, but that they were called upon to bring an animal, a sheep, a goat, a bull calf, whatever it was. And then that may be the substitute, and then those sacrifices in the first place, a clean animal. In the second place, an animal without blemish. In the third place, an animal that was owned, and in the fourth place, more than 7 days old, thus a connection with that animal. And now, boys and girls, do you know what the offer that has brought that animal in front of that brazen altar of burnt offerings? Then when they brought that animal to the priest, then the priest has expected that animal, because their sacrifices, they are to be perfect. And I read in Romans 1, 12, the verses 1 and 2, a living sacrifice, and then the offer, they were to place their hands upon that animal. And I think, children, maybe you can even understand the meaning that symbolically, then they were to lay all their sins upon the head of that animal. And when that has taken place, then that animal, then that sacrifice had to be immediately killed because of the sins that have been laid upon it. And then the family, then the offer they were given to see that animal killed, struggling, is shedding its blood. And then the offer, now that animal has taken my place. Instead of father or mother, boys and girls, laid upon that altar, then that animal could take its place. And it was laid upon the altar, and then the smoke ascended unto the Lord. What a beautiful preaching unto the Old Testament church, but what also instruction for us and our children. Then it was the substitute taking the place of the Israelite. And then we read concerning those ashes that they were placed first on the east side of the altar. So that means that when a person, a family, would come into the courtyard, then they would see that altar, the fire burning upon that altar, but also the ashes in front of that altar. What a beautiful picture and emblem of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was crucified, he offered himself as a priest. He has offered his divine nature upon the altar of his divinity. And when Christ has died, he has remained on the cross for a certain time. And then we also read that those ashes, they had to be carried out of the camp. So Christ, he was buried outside of Jerusalem. Congregation, what a beautiful foreshadowment of the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, in the Old Testament, then for such a one, for such a family, then that animal has taken the place of a sinner. And now concerning that brazen altar of burnt offerings, we have mentioned that there was a door in that courtyard. There were two more doors. Was the door into the tabernacle, the holy place, and there was also the door, the veil, into the most holy place. And now it is necessary, first, children of Israel, they were confronted with that first door, the holiness, the justice of God. And before that tabernacle, there was also the brazen laver with water. Thus, our altar in this morning that speaks, first place of justification, altar with water, points to justification. And now in the tabernacle that speaks of the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's an orderly way that the Lord leads his people. And then that third veil, that was the high priest on the great day of atonement, going with the blood of that goat and sprinkled before the veil and upon the mercy seat. And then the high priest would return, that the Lord has spared him, an acceptance that speaks of the assurance in the life of the people of God. The brazen altar of burnt offerings. And how is it now with us? We have said the children of Israel, greatly blessed and greatly privileged above all the other people upon the face of the earth. No people like them, so privileged. And that was a people where the Lord was gathering his church. Read the blessings thereof in Romans 3, the verses 1 and 2. The oracles of God were entrusted unto them. do you oftentimes think of all your blessings, young and old? You are given to ponder over those things. And that you are given to think, why me, Lord? So privileged to be under the truth and where thou was promised to work by thy Spirit and gather thy church. But have we now ever become a sinner, a black sinner, and learned that the Lord is so holy and so just, can have no communion with the Lord, and yet with a good choice? But the Lord has a people that learn with that good choice that their sins are not forgiven. Oh, they learn of that wall, that fence around the tabernacle that separates, and yet they cannot miss the Lord. And even for a people where they have seen a little of that tabernacle, to learn of that 8-foot curtain, they see nothing of the tabernacle, the holiness and the justice of God. Has that ever become our concern, our main concern? Lord, is there now a way for such a black sinner as I am to be reconciled, and that all my sins may be forgiven? Oh, what a wonder it becomes when that way may be declared. But now to learn how that way has been made, and then to behold that large, brazen altar of burnt offerings covered with brass. Oh, those are all matters the church must be instructed in. The necessity, the qualifications of the mediator, but how busy they can be and are with that fire upon the altar, that fire that requires a perfect satisfaction in all aspects cannot be one sin. And then what a wonder it becomes when the Lord may open that gospel. Oh, that one has come, the Lamb of God, the servant of the Father. Of course, our boys can understand it, that those animals, when the hands were placed upon their head, that they did not know the meaning. But those animals had to die. But now the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the willing servant of the Father. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. O Church of God, we have heard it last week. The light arises in the darkness. Ah, the church learns how dependent they are for the Lord upon everything. And may it please the Lord in this season that that light may arise, that may shine brighter and brighter concerning the way of salvation, the work of a triune God, that the fire upon the altar of God's justice, that it has been quenched, that it has been satisfied. When he has cried out, it is finished. And therefore the Apostle Paul has written to the Galatians in Galatians 6, verse 14, "But God forbid that I should glory in anything save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." The Lord grant the application for young and old. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, then we have heard in this morning hour, as such a rich proclamation of the gospel, which was typified already in the Old Testament with that brazen altar of burnt offerings, and then also in the Old Testament, then the work of the Holy Spirit was necessary to grant the application. So it is also in the New Testament. So it is for us and our children. And to that end, then we humbly ask thee for the work of thy Holy Spirit, in the hearts of young and old, and that in beginning, Lord, that in this morning hour, that hearts may have been pricked to be given to see the blackness of their sin, the justice of fire, and yet a need to be reconciled, Lord. Well, thou remember thy children, grant a prayer for one another. Well, thou now graciously watch over us in the furtherance of this Lord's day. Remember in this afternoon, well, thou help and remember the brother elder in reading and laying the needs of the congregation before thee. Well, thou grant an opening at the throne of grace. May there be Aaron's and hers. Well, thou keep us from sin and temptation. Forgive us of the sins also thus far of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 419, the stanzas 2 and 3. A mighty stream of full transgression prevails from day to day. But thou, O God, in great compassion, wilt purge my guilt away. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following. At the male members' meeting held February 4, the following office bearers were chosen for elder: Mr. Heere Kurhost and Mr. John Vergadre, and for deacon: Mr. Jan Verduin. All have accepted their respective offices, and lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory before February 18. And the membership directories and the banner of truth are at the exit. Psalter 419, the stanzas 2 and 3. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.